I speak to you in the name of Jesus, risen from the dead. Amen. I never found out his name. When I came down the front steps of the cathedral that Maundy Thursday night, I felt the strange interim calm that always descends after the Maundy Thursday liturgy. We had come to that place to remember the Last Supper Jesus and his friends shared. We had washed each other's feet to remind ourselves that we can have no share in Christ without receiving his loving service. We had reached for fragments of bread and a sip of wine, knowing that such a supper is the prelude to suffering. I had stayed behind to talk with Sarah, to spend time with her at the baptismal font, rehearsing her birth night, reminding her not to wear silk, and sharing in her anticipation. Then I went out the front door and down the great cathedral steps and started across the street to go get my coat and hat. One of the chorister's parents, just leaving, slowed her car, rolled down the window and said, "There's a man in trouble over there," pointing toward the corner in front of the Guarantee Building across the street from the cathedral in Buffalo. He was a little old man, truly, bent way over, wearing an overcoat, hat on head, clutching a package, and balanced with the help of a cane. Several EMT persons surrounded him and were trying to talk to him. When I walked up, one of the technicians asked if I knew the man. I said, "No, I don't think I know him. He's not a member of the cathedral." Some people leaving the cathedral had seen him walking in front of the church during the evening, but he was not a regular visitor, and I did not recognize him. Just then, the technician leaned down and said to him, "My name is Brianna. What is your name?" "I don't know. Maybe I'm losing my memory." They started to call the police, and I went home. I had to go home and get ready for the next day, confident that help was coming. I couldn't forget that little old man, bent over, balanced precariously late at night on a nearly deserted street in downtown Buffalo in front of the cathedral, unsure of his name, not sure where he was or where he was going. How did he get there? Did someone bring him? Did someone leave him there? How long had he been there? When I got home, I realized why the little old man bothered me so much and pulled at my heart. More than 25 years ago, on this very night, the night of Easter, at the great vigil of Easter in St. Michael's Parish in Litchfield, Connecticut, I stood at the font and poured water over a little old man, bent way over, on the verge of losing his memory. His name was Richard, and he had lived most of his life as a Quaker. They don't have sacraments. So at the end of his life, he had come to be baptized. Richard was a brilliant photographer, one of the best architectural photographers in the history of New York City, having donated more than 100,000 photographs to the City Museum of New York City. In his old age, Richard and his wife had come to Litchfield and found their way to our parish. Gradually, they became more involved. Then Richard's wife died, and we celebrated her funeral. A few months later, he asked me if it would be possible for him to be baptized. And we began to talk about his life and his loves and his losses and his quiet spiritual formation in the Quaker meeting. And it became clear that he wanted to belong with us. So we made ready, and we prayed and studied. And on that night, like this night, after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, we gathered like Christians for centuries to hear the great story of God's salvation, to pour water over those of every age who want to be born in Christ, and to announce the good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It was a glorious celebration, and Richard, who did not need instructions to bend over the font, was bathed with forgiveness and life and beamed through the great banquet that followed. And so he became one of us. And as the year went by, he lost his memory. He soon went to live in a nursing home. We'd go to see him to take Holy Communion, and always he was glad to see us. Sometimes he'd proposition some of our Eucharistic ministers. But I always figured it was a sign of life. Once he looked with puzzlement at the consecrated host offered by the Eucharistic minister until the attending nurse, clearly related to Nurse Cratchit, stepped up, picked up the host, put it in his mouth, and said, "Dick, this is the body of Christ, eat it." And he did. Richard seldom got back to church in person until the next Easter day after his baptism. Our deacon brought him to church, now even more bent over, with less light in his eyes. I met him at the church door and gave him a hug, trying to be as gentle as I could. In my vain attempt to be pastoral, I asked, "Dick, do you know who I am?" "I'm not sure. I think I know you." "Dick, do you know where you are?" He looked around for a long moment, and his eyes brightened, and the light of Christ appeared. And finally he answered in a strong voice, "Yes, we did the water, and you called me Richard." It was the last time Dick ever came to church in person. But God truly had not forgotten him. And God called him by name. And God opened his jangled memory just enough to let the sound of pouring water and the mighty words, "I baptize you," be heard. I hope the little old man found his way home that Thursday night. I never found out his name, because even he wasn't sure what it was. But if this is the night in which God pried open a sealed tomb and led his beloved son out of the prison of death and stood him up and breathed life into all that was dead, then this is a night to hope that all that is dead may live again. To Malcolm and Laura and Madeline and Lucas and Olivia, I only want to say, this is the place of the water. Don't ever forget that. Well, even if you someday lose your memory, God won't let you forget that this is the place of water, the place of resurrection, the place of new life. And when you feel bent over with weariness or shame or fear, let God stand you up and renew your life. To Malcolm and Laura and Madeline and Lucas and Olivia, I want to say again, this is the place of the water. I hope you never forget your name, but if you do, be assured that God remembers your name and knows where you are, even if you find yourself standing late at night, bent over, surrounded by helpers, not sure who you are or where you are. To the people of God who have stood in the darkness and greeted the fire and light, who have listened to the ancient stories of creation, the liberating flight through the sea, the jangling of bones, who have stood with new brothers and sisters in the place of water and promised to walk with them until the end, who have sung joyfully of God's power and love, this is the place of the water. Let the water soak into your memories and infiltrate your passions. Let the water that flows from the fountain of God's grace moisten your steps and hasten your hearts. It is the water of life. Amen.